Da Bears.
I hope we get a Da Bears today from Caleb Williams. I'm looking forward to that part over at Hallis Hall. Coming up, we have Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel, but before that, let's thank the crew. Marshall Harris, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Baby T, Tyler Feringel helping out. Brandon Fryer did the same. Thanks to everybody who texted us. Thanks to everybody who was on Twitch with us. The Twitch mob was having a lot of fun today. Of course, Connor O'Donnell and Jacob Stutz were our producers. And to everybody who hung with us while we tried to figure out what was going on at Hallis Hall.
And thank you, Layla, for keeping me on the train tracks when I was like, you know what? I am overly concerned about Jalen Johnson being out for a few weeks.
And then they added to the roster with cornerback Trey Flowers and also adding defensive line help. But don't ask the general manager about that. That's just not important.
It's a little weird.
That man, Homer Simpson, straight into the bushes.
Exudes confidence when I see these things.
Did he not? Is that not what he did? Like, he just kind of, all right, I'm turning over to Ben now. Ben's the voice.
It does seem that way. Cleaning,
keeping, whatever you want to call it.
And maybe that's for the better. Who knows?
I think it is very much for the better.
I still would like the general manager at the beginning of training camp to answer questions.
I understand that. I totally understand that you'd like him to answer questions. But I think the overarching thing, because I've been saying this for a long, long time, the head coach has to be the godhead of your football organization, and they have one now.
In general, or you're saying for the Bears?
Oh, no, in general.
Okay.
No. In general, in the NFL, it's very, very rare that it's not the head coach, and when it works best, it is the head coach. And the Bears have been hesitant to do that for decades, and they've done it. They've forked over the money and the power and the image of the team, and that is a good thing overall. But I, Lawrence, I hear what you're saying. You want the GM to answer some questions, but I guess they want Ben to answer those questions.
But Speaks, is that basically not been the case since the guy who won the Super Bowl here?
Exactly.
Okay, so that this is a true turn. Okay, all right. So you saying that gives me context, and now I'm a little bit more okay with it. But still, my question is the head coach then going to answer also the personnel questions and the questions that I had for Ryan Poles?
Might not get all those answered today, and you're right to journalistically want that, which I'm sure is where Lawrence is, and I'm sure part of where you're coming from. But I appreciate you taking a moment to think about it like that, Marshall, because I think those are the decades that we've been talking about. Like, they've been afraid to have a strong, badass head coach.
And that's why you haven't won anything.
It's certainly been part of it. A messed up power structure. Now Ben's in charge. And that is a good thing overall.
So when Lovey was the head coach, remind me here. I just want to, for contextual purposes.
It's a good question.
How would he play that guy? Like, speaking as someone who did not live in Chicago.
Jerry Angelo spoke a lot. We would get Jerry Angelo at the beginning of training camp. We would get him usually midway through the season on the road. We would get him before a game.
And then how about actual power in terms of player acquisitions and such?
By the time that we got to the middle of Lovey's tenure, he had it.
You think he had it?
Yeah.
So he was that figure that Spiegs is describing right now, which is what my predisposition. That's what I thought it was.
I don't think he. You and I have a disagreement on how much power Lovey actually had.
I'm not saying that he was the overall decider, but he was in the room.
In the room is different. I think Ben comes in here day one as the final say. That's totally different.
I wouldn't GM disagree with that.
GMs speak on the first days of training camp.
Sometimes owners speak on the first day of training camp.
Sometimes owners and GMs of the same organization speak.
And typically they take questions, especially when, regardless of your personal situation, which you should be proud of that you got extended for 5 years, and that should be a conversation with the media in the third biggest city in the country. But in addition to that, when you're adding to your roster, I'd like to know why.
Okay.
That's a fair discussion.
And in the case of Lovey, it wasn't Jerry Angelo sitting at Julius Peppers' doorstep at midnight.
No, it wasn't. It was Lovey getting that done.
And that's why I said it, because from what I know, Lovey was that dude that you're describing, but also
I don't really think he was.
And look, but my point is this. Even if he wasn't, you talk about you can't be a good. He got them on the doorstep. They were at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the goal, is to get there. Now, what happens when you get there? But just getting to the Super Bowl is very, very hard to do, ask Andy Reid.
Lovey's the best head coach they've had since the Super Bowl. I mean, since Ditka's little run, and yeah, for sure. I mean, Lovey did great things.
It's not a question.
It's not a question.
Think of his record when he was fired.
But overall, if
you love that record,
if you're going to turn something like Lawrence, and I don't remember how much of this was off the air, how much was on the air. You and I talking about Dan Campbell, and like
it was a little bit on, like we were talking about the quarterback doc, where it's like it's you saw the impact of Dan Campbell being like, man, we're a go-for-it team. Jared, should we go for it?
Right.
Yes!
But that's the guy that turned that organization. I mean, we were the Lions. We could be the Lions again, and now we want to be the Lions, and Dan is the one that turned it.
I will say, though, that Brad Holmes is, and I think that this is for Ryan Poles, too, like, Brad Holmes is cool with being in the background, but being in the background doesn't mean that you abdicate talking about things that general managers should talk about. And that's what I feel like happened today, that Ryan Poles could have talked about all of this stuff. And instead of, like, don't call it media availability if you're not going to be available.
That's the point.
Now, that's fair. And I think it's possible that we're seeing an overcorrection that will come back to the middle at some point.
I would
point.
Hope so, because I mean, I've liked the fact that he hasn't been like his predecessor, where you maybe see him once and then never again, unless you're seeing him from halfway behind a door.
Yeah.
I think that Ryan Poles should feel empowered, and he should feel excited to be the person speaking about what's next for the Bears. And even if that means that during the season, maybe you don't see him that often, unless, you know, another coach gets fired and shamed out of a building, then I'm okay with that. But as you're opening things up with this new coach and with this new idea, you can even speak to some of that stuff
if you
want to.
You could, and maybe he's got to learn exactly how to do that and have that place.
But
it just doesn't surprise me. I'm sorry, Layla. It doesn't surprise me that the Ben Johnson regime is off to a similar model that the Dan Campbell regime is run with.
Yeah, okay. Except, in this case, you had a person, you had a GM extended who went 15-36. He gets the extension. It's 5 years, largely based on the head coach being hired. And we heard a lot about blaming the past and blaming people who are in the past who are no longer here. And this is a time where you can move forward and stand on your decisions. But instead, we didn't hear that. So now we're hearing another handoff, this time to the guy who's there now.
Let me ask you a question, because I was looking into this yesterday, as Lawrence and we were texting about it a little bit yesterday. How many organizations go ahead and announce a front office extension and talk about it?
Right. Congratulations, I think, in that moment of doing that thing.
But I think from my digging yesterday, I think it's very, very, very few, if any, actually announce a front office extension.
Oh, no, it was a flex. It was letting you know, hey, we've got things, our house is in order because now we've got everybody aligned. That's the way I saw it.
But it was the agency that announced this. It's the agency that leaked this and put out the Poles extension, not the team. Not Poles himself. And the agency wants to flex themselves, especially when it's Trace Armstrong.
I was
going to
say, we know who the agent is.
Damn right. And they're, look at me, look what happened. Look at my guy. That wasn't the team doing that. I don't think it's that common around the league, actually.
I do think what's common is your GM taking questions on the first day of training camp.
Very common.
I agree.
And again, sometimes it's the owner.
It's going to be
doing it bad.
I like a disaster.
Jerry's show, first day of training camp, like, it's just a dance. It's a dance with him and the Dallas media, and everybody just does it. And then you like pick out random sound bites that you need, and then you just go from there, because you know why? He's going to talk again.
He is.
Yeah, he's going to talk every week. Layla.
Twice a week.
My favorite thing about it is, like, if you're going to go and berate your star player, know how many games he actually missed.
You berated both of them.
Yes, that's
true.
You
took the quarterback out and your pass rusher out. Yeah, to the point where other people are like, hey, what's going on?
Do you like the players on your team that
you
signed?
Are you trying to sign the year's version of Lawrence Taylor? Would you like to sign that player?
I got
to
spend the money on somebody.
Let's talk about the unstable oil terminology that man has used, that in casual slang is not nearly as, it's a little more brash, if you get my drift. Like the opening pressers that he does for these things, they're not, it's just, you don't take it as seriously because A, things typically change roster wise for the team between now and the preseason, and the other part of it is, like we mentioned, like, you just know he's talking again. This guy doesn't talk often.
No.
Did you get to the episode of Landman with him in it?
Yes.
He was excellent. Like that was an award worthy performance from Jerry Jones.
It was a wonderful performance.
Or they just kind of said talk and they just rolled the cameras on him and he did his thing.
I'm not going to take anything away from that.
He was great.
I thought his ability was fantastic. His ability as a general manager.
Not so good.
They haven't made it to the NFC Championship game in 30 years. Hey, I will take that time to remind you.
That's a good reminder. Hey, real quick. Rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne, who led a very strange and chaotic life for a lot of decades. But
documented.
The original Black Sabbath album and that early stuff, it is as important to rock and roll as Led Zeppelin was. It is just as important in terms of what it was and what it did. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, man, it hurts in their core today to lose that guy.
And yesterday, losing Malcolm Jamal Warner.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, in Costa Rica.
He was swimming and drowned.
Yeah, it's very, very unfortunate.
I've never heard his music, though. I don't know.
He's won a Grammy, so...
Yeah.
Did he? Yeah. Oh, that's right. He did spoken word stuff. Yeah, he did spoken word poetry.
Pretty good. Oh. I believe he played guitar and bass.
Yep.
As well.
That's it.
And
Francie was nominated for a couple for spoken word
stuff. I think he had a couple of like VMA nominations for directing a lot of music videos too. Like, he's a very multifaceted dude.
So. I love when young actors develop into more and you kind of see their I guess talents shine through multiple branches.
I always love it, like when you're watching a show and then you look in the credits and you're like, oh,
that was him.
Someone directed that. Like, that's pretty dope to see stuff like that happen. Here's what we've got going on the show today. Nico Horner is going to join us at 2:30. We were supposed to talk with Craig Council, but apparently there's something. He had something that he had to go take care of. And I'm starting to lean on what you said, Layla, that you wonder if that means that they're having a discussion about some things. Like, I don't know, PCA's knee or maybe trading for someone.
He's part of the acquisition process. We know that much.
I'm just saying, there are times when something comes up and it's July 22nd.
The nose knows. And by the way, the manager spoke at Cubs on Friday, and so did the president of baseball operations. So it's not that weird for like the general manager of a football team to then also take questions about when the season begins.
On baseball night in Chicago and NBC Sports Chicago, not only did I ask Theo Epstein about his extension in the interview we discussed, I even got to ask him if he did his own deal.
Well, it's clear he's the boss.
No, Angela.
Bingo.
She thought she was the boss, but really Mona was the boss.
Mona was the boss. I agree with that.
That's where you have to land.
Sam thought she was the boss too.
Sam thought she was the boss. They wrapped up transition,
and then they took a break. Remember that part?
Back after this on The Score.